daily international OU Tehillim and Chizuk phone call. This is Rabbi Phil Karish of the Orthodox Union, filling in for Naftali Herman, who is on break with his family, and he will be back tomorrow to join you on this Tehillim and Chizuk phone call. Thank you so much to each of you for joining today's call on Yom Shlishi, the 22nd day of the month of Kislev, just a few days shy of Hanukkah. Thank you as well to our wonderful and generous sponsors, in particular the Schwartz family, for their continued support and whose names are prominently listed in the daily OU Tehillim email. On behalf of the OU, it is my esteemed honor to introduce Rabbi Benny Krohn of Young Israel of Teaneck, New Jersey, to share Divrei Chizuk, which will be immediately followed by Rabbi Krohn slowly reciting our daily dose of three chapters from Psalms 3, Prakim of Tehillim, chapters 23, 121, and 130. That's Prakim Kaf Gimel, Kuf Chaf Aleph, and Kuf Lamed, which will be followed by the Mishaberach B'cholim and the Achenu. We'll conclude the call with a brief conversation with Rabbi Krohn to learn a little bit about his community. Please stay tuned afterwards for information regarding tomorrow's speaker, Chavod, with great honor, Rabbi Krohn.
Thank you so much, Rabbi Karish, really to not just to you and to Rabbi Herman and to the entire team at the OU for inviting me to join you this afternoon. A really special thank you really to the OU in general for all you've done for the American Jewish community for decades, of course, but specifically for the work that the OU has done over the past 8 or 9 months. When the pandemic hit, the OU stepped in immediately, providing all kinds of resources and programming that have been so meaningful for so many thousands of families across the country. And for that, we owe a great debt of Hakaras HaTov to the Orthodox Union. After being sold into slavery, so Yosef, we know, finally finds himself in Potiphar's home, and he finds great success there. But almost immediately, he finds himself embroiled in controversy once again as his master's wife begins to seduce him, come after him. And the Torah tells us, it's on a certain day that Yosef headed into his house to do his work. And the Torah says no one else is at home. And the Gemara in Sota picks up on this strange detail. Why does the Torah tell us that Yosef came to do his work? Yosef always did his work. What was different about today? And the Gemara has a dispute between Rav and Shmuel about the significance of this phrase. Rav says, what do you mean, lasot machto, to do his usual work? And Shmuel says, no. Yosef was finally going to give in to temptation. And he came in with that intention. And the Gemara tells us something fascinating. Va'usa shah, at that moment, says the Gemara, basa diyukno shel aviv v'nira solo b'chalon. At that moment, Yosef sees his father's face in the window. Amarlo, and he hears him say to him, Yosef, Asidin Achecha Shiyichtu Val Avne Eifo, your brothers are going to be written on the stones of the clothing of the Kohen Gadol. V'yata b'neihem, and your name will be there. Ritzoncha Shimacha Shimcha Mibneihem, do you want your name to be removed? Immediately the Gemara says, Yosef runs out of the house and saves himself from this very grave sin. But you have to wonder, why does the Gemara tell us that Yaakov's face was shown to Yosef in the window, in the chalom? Yosef could have seen his father's face anywhere. And my colleague at Yeshiva University, Rabbi Tzvi Ram, once gave a beautiful explanation that stayed with me for years. He explains the letters of chalom, the word chalom, window, ches lamed, are found in numerous words in the Hebrew language which always come to signify a void, or an empty space. The chalon in which Yosef sees his father didn't have glass in the times of Egypt. There were empty spaces in the wall. We have something called chulin in halacha, something that's meat and other items that are lacking any type of kedusha or sanctity. And the chalal, also ches lamed lamed, is a corpse, a body which lacks its spiritual source, lacks its neshama, a body devoid of life. People succumb to temptation and to sin when we're feeling a sense of emptiness in our lives, when we need something to fill that space. And so we find whatever we think will make us feel good. And Yosef, of course, is feeling about as empty as any person can feel. His brothers have betrayed him. He's all alone in a foreign country. He has not one person to reach out to. And then someone extends their hand to fill that void in the worst possible way. Eshes Potiphar, Potiphar's wife. to that moment that the Medrash tells us that Yosef didn't see his father's likeness just anywhere. He saw it in a window, in the space, in the void that was left. Yaakov was asking Yosef, is it really worth it? Is this how you want to fill that void in your life by giving into a moment of passion? Or can you overcome? Can you remain determined to fill that space with meaning, with kedusha? And Yosef understands the message, and he runs. The commentaries all point out that it's no coincidence that the story of Yosef always coincides with Hanukkah, because there are so many messages that run through both stories. The Mishneh Berurah, written by the Chafetz Chaim, writes in Halachos, the laws of Hanukkah, why is there a mitzvah to have a feast on Purim, but not on Hanukkah? There's a mitzvah of Sudas Purim, to have a Sudah on Purim, a meal, but on Hanukkah, a Hanukkah party is nice, but it's not a mitzvah. And he explains that on Purim, Achashverosh and Haman plan to attack our bodies. They wanted to just physically annihilate B'nai Israel. So how do we celebrate? By celebrating the body. We have the mitzvah Sayom, the mitzvah, the commandments of the day, to eat and drink, and to have a Sudah. However, on Hanukkah was not an attack on our bodies, it was an attack on our souls. The Assyrian Greeks would have been very happy not to kill one Jew, as long as we would all denounce our connection to Judaism. As the Medrash states, they required the Jews to write, Ein lanu chelek velokiso, we have no place with the God of Israel. Their goal was that we should feel nothing is sacred, that there's nothing special about being a Jew. They were trying to create that void, to create that emptiness, which would then be filled by Greek culture. Therefore, the mitzvah of Hanukkah is not to feast, to enjoy the body, but to feed the soul, the neshama. We light candles, which represent Torah mitzvot, ki ner mitzvah of a Torah or. It's no surprise then that if you look in the Shulchan Aruch, in Aruch Chaim Siman Tav Reish Ayin Aleph, the Rav Yosef Karo tells us where do we place the menorah? One of two places. Either in the Chalal HaPesach, the open space of a doorway, or in where most of us light, in the Chalon, in the window. We do so to signify that we will never allow anything other than Torah and mitzvot to fill a void in our lives. All of us want to live a meaningful life. And we all have certain voids to fill. The challenge we all face is to wade through all that's going on in the world around us and to find real meaning, to find real kedusha, real sanctity, to fill the void with the values of Torah and mitzvot, which will transform our lives and that of our families. We'll continue now with three chapters of Tehillim. Tehillim 23, 121, and 130. We'll start with Tehillim 23, Perek Chaf Gimel. Mizmor David, Adonai Ro'i Lo Echsar, Binostesha Yaditzeini, Amei Menuchos Yinaleini, Nafshi Yishovev, Yankheini, B'magle Tzedek L'man Shemo, Dam Ki Eilech, B'geit HaMoveth, Lo Yirara, Ki Ata Imadi, Shiftecho Mishantecha, Heima Yinach Amuni, Taroch Lefonai Shulchan Neged Tzorai, Yishanta V'Shem Roshiko Si Rivaya, Ach Tov V'Chesed, Yudefuni Ko Yemei Chayai, V'Shapti V'Veis Adonai, Arech Yamin. Next is Perek Kuf Chaf Aleph 121. Shir LaMalos, Esa Enai El Harim, Meyayin Yavo Ezri, Ezri Meyim Adonai, Osei Shemayim Varet, Al Yitei Namogat Lecha, Al Yanum Shomrecha, Hinei Lo Yanum Velo Ishan, Shomer Yisrael, Adonai Shomrecha, Adonai Tziocha, Yad Minecha, Yomam Hashem, Eshloyek Heka, V'yareyach Balayla, Adonai Yishmorcha Mikara, Yishmor Esnafshecha, Adonai Yishmor Tzitcha Vorecha, Me'ata V'yadulam. In the last one, Perek Kuf Lamed, chapter 130. Shir HaMalos, Imam Akim Krasicha Adonai, Adonai Shema Vikoli, Tiena Uznecha Kashivos, Lakota Hanunai, Ibabanos, Tishmaria, Adonai Miyamod, Ki Imcha Hasicha, Leman Tivare, Now we're said Mishra Berech L'cholim. I'll pause in the middle, and at that point, anyone can place in the names of those who are in need of refuah Hashem, and those who are in need of recovery. Mishra Berech, Amosin, Avraham, Yitzchak, Yaakov, Moshe, Aaron, David, Shlomo, Yivarech, Hira, Pesach, Acholim, V'Atachalos. עבור שאנחנו מסלמים ועבור המתחזק לשכוח ילמים רחמים עליהם, להחלים מהם לרפוסם לחזיקם לחיוסם, וישלח להם מהירה ורפואה שלהם מן השמיים, לכל עבירם לכל גדיהם, בסוך שר חולי ישראל, רפואה לנפש ורפואה לגוף, השתה בעגלה בזמן קריב, נאמר אמן. And we'll conclude with אחינו. אחינו כל בית ישראל, הנשונים בצרה ובשביה, העומדים בין בים ובין ביבשה, המקום יורחם עליהם, יוציא מצאו לברכה ומאפילה לאורה, ומשיבו לגאולה, השתה בעגלה ובזמן קריב, ונאמר אמן.
Amen. Thank you very much, Rabbi, for your Dibrei Chizuk and for your Dibrei Tfila. As we transition into the next part of the call, I'd like to start with learning a little bit about how you are doing, how your family is doing, and how your community is holding up.
Thank you so much. Baruch Hashem, we're doing okay, thank God. We are all very grateful to the incredible medical professionals throughout Bergen County, where we are, who've been working with our schools to do their best to keep our schools open, and having children in school has been a big bracha, something we do not take for granted at all, as well as working with the rabbis at the RCBC, you know, where I have the very special supposed be a part of the Rabbinical Council of Bergen County, who are doing their best together with the medical professionals to keep our communities functioning as normally as possible, keeping schools open as much as possible, and providing safe spaces for people as much as we possibly can.
That's great. Thank you. As you've mentioned that you're in Bergen County, could you give us a little bit of familiarity with your community and maybe an overview of your shul as well and in the larger community?
Sure. Our shul is in like the southeast corner of Teaneck, almost closer to Inglewood. We are a shul of approximately 230 plus full member families, and shul is over 20 years old. We're Baruch Hashem, a very close knit group. We have kind of an enclave in Teaneck, which is very kind of unique and special that we have. We have continued to make an effort to get people to know everyone as much as possible. Even though Baruch Hashem, we continue to grow at a very nice rate. We have, you know, vibrant minyanim, adult education, youth, social programming, all kinds of things, which Baruch Hashem is continuing to help us grow together, you know, as individuals, as families, as a community, and it's a very special place to be. We actually just completed an expansion of our building. Actually, COVID, in an interesting way, provided an opportunity for us because we were out of the building for so many months that the process moved forward very quickly, and we were able to basically be pretty much finished now. And that process, the expansion process, is really symbolic, I think, of our community. It was all hands on deck. I cannot tell you the number of people, thousands of volunteer hours, people giving of themselves, working together, just on behalf of the community, has really been an incredible thing to watch. You know, my wife Connie and I, we feel very grateful to be part of the community with really special, warm, thoughtful, caring people. It's a community that's really a family. And it's a very special special thing for us to be part of such a beautiful community.
Fantastic. Thank you. And bringing back, going back in time a little bit, what motivated you to go into the rabbinate and to become a pulpit rabbi?
Good question. It wasn't my original intention, actually. My original intention was to be a psychologist. I was in Michigan University, and then I started smicha, and I found, you know, as time went on and I was in smicha, I had mentors and others who, you know, asked me to kind of consider the rabbinate, and I thought about it, and I had some really meaningful experiences. And by now, I really feel privileged to have an opportunity as a rabbi, community rabbi, what's unique. You have an opportunity to cultivate such meaningful relationships with members of the Kehillah, and also to have the opportunity to address the issues in people's lives that really matter, to give a voice to the challenges that people face, to remind them they're not alone, and provide a pathway for people towards greater fulfillment and meaning. That's something unique, I think, that Shul Rabban are able to do, and that's, you know, certainly to help them find out fulfillment and meaning in Torah, but in so many ways. But like I said, I'm only able to do that. To have any meaningful impact, whatever meaningful impact you're able to have, because of the partnership with my wife, Connie, and her support and guidance and partnership are everything to me and to our community.
Excellent. That's great. Just one more question for you today.
Sure.
If you had the ability to see into the future, of course, the world has changed dramatically as the result of the pandemic and other concurrent issues in our world stage. What communal changes do you anticipate will remain after COVID for the broader Jewish community?
It's a great question. And I think, number one, it's important that we continue to ask that question. You know, this has been a devastating experience for so many people. And I really think that it's critical that as we, Mitzvah Shem, start to see the light at the end of the tunnel, and hopefully it's coming soon, that we don't allow ourselves to go back to living the same lives we did before. There should be things that we take from all this. I think that we all have appreciated how much we need each other more than ever before. I've come to appreciate coming to Shul not only for meaningful tefillah, which is the primary reason, but really for the meaningful relationships that exist in and out of Shul. That's been something I think all of us are missing. I've spoken to my community a lot recently about the opportunity that this experience has brought us to recognize that our lives are quite literally b'yad Hashem. And I think strengthening emunah in our day-to-day, that an appreciation for the small things that we see as normal. I think we've all come to realize that simple things that are, quote, normal, we used to see as normal, are really tremendous brachos. And it's something I think we need to keep with us, even as in Mirat Hashem, the world returns to normal. And I also think that while we've so much time separate from others has had a real negative impact on us, it also is providing that avenue for people to consider the personal choices that we all make about our relationship with Hashem, our own personal love with Hashem. We no longer have social pressure for a lot of the choices that we make. And I think this has been an opportunity for self-reflection about how we make the choices that we make in our religious lives. And it's my hope that as we, again, come out of this, that we take that to heart and we start thinking more about the personal choices we make and how we make them. And making them because of the best choices for ourselves. And I think that's something that really we could do some work with as well.
Rabbi Kron, thank you so much for your responses, and thank you for being on the call today, sharing your Divrei Torah and Divrei Chizuk, and for providing us with a glimpse into your community. As with all of Klal Yisrael and the entire world, our thoughts and prayers are with you and your community for continued bracha, success, and good health. We hope and pray that all of our collective efforts for safety, strength, and a refuah for all of those in need will be answered l'tova. And may the Ribono Shel Olam, the Master of the World, speedily bring an end to these days of concern and uncertainty. Please join us again tomorrow at 1 p.m. Eastern for words of inspiration from Rabbi Brian Bornstein of the OUJLIC in Los Angeles, California. This concludes today's call. With hearts full of faith, stay strong, hopeful, and optimistic. Wishing everyone a wonderful, healthy, and safe day.